If you're turned to 1 John chapter 2, we'll be reading verse 18 through 27 this morning. We're going to consider two of four key terms that every believer should understand. Hear now the Word of God. Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they are all not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything, and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. Please join me in prayer as I ask for God's blessing upon our time and his word this morning. Our Father in heaven, we love you, and we pray now that as we open your word, that you would teach us from it. You would build us up in our faith, and that you would make us more ready to walk in obedience before you. We acknowledge that we love you because you first loved us. And so, O God, we pray that you would open the windows of heaven to us now, that your Spirit would be among us, and that you would teach us of yourself and your ways and the great salvation that you have brought to us in Christ. It's in his name that we pray these things. Amen. Well, as I mentioned a second ago, today we're going to begin a two-part message on four key terms that every Christian should understand. Now, granted, there are many other terms that every Christian should understand, and arguably there are more important terms for you to understand than the four that we're going to be looking at. But these four terms, or at least the themes behind these four terms, are explicitly stated in the text before us. And so we're going to be looking at those because they're right here in our text. A second reason why these are so important to understand today is because each of these four terms that we're going to be looking at are being hotly discussed and debated within the Christian church. Everywhere you go, these terms will show up in conversation with other Christians. In fact, often when you talk with non-Christians, these very terms will show up. The four terms that we're going to be discussing are Antichrist, apostasy, anointing, and abiding. These are the terms that we will be looking at. We will be looking this morning, though, specifically at Antichrist and apostasy. Before we actually look at the first term, though, I want you to notice something that's true of each of these terms. There's three things that are true of each of these terms. First is that each of these terms, or at least the theme of them, comes up within the context of false teaching. In verse 26, John makes it clear, I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. And so every one of these terms, Antichrist, apostasy, abiding, anointing, they all have something to do with false teaching, or at least related to that theme. A second thing is that each of these terms has a definite reference to the body of Christ. It has a reference to the covenant community. In verse 19, this is especially clear as John talks about us and they. And he makes a distinction between the covenant community and those outside of the covenant community. And so each of these terms is vitally connected to the church or the covenant community. And lastly, each of these terms has a reference to Christ. In other words, each of these has something to do with Jesus Christ. This is most clearly seen explicitly with the term Antichrist. Christ is right there in the Word, and so we see that that has something to do specifically with Jesus. The term apostasy has everything to do with those who renounce the faith, who abandon the gospel and leave the body of Christ, and so apostasy has everything to do with Christ. Anointing. The anointing, as we will see, comes from Him. It's something that Jesus gives. And abiding, we are called to abide in Him, in Christ. And so each of these have something to do with Christ. And therefore, the purpose of the sermon this morning and the purpose of the sermon next time we consider this text is to warn you. It's to warn you, the church, about false teaching by informing you of the meaning of these four key terms. This was John's purpose, and this is my purpose this morning. Let's consider the first term this morning, Antichrist. So much hoopla has been raised over the term and the word Antichrist in our day that it invokes images and themes that can cloud a biblical understanding of just what this term means. From books to movies to popular prophecy wall charts, everybody's taking a stab at Antichrist. Antichrist is often given to us sort of like the comic book arch enemy of Jesus that the Joker is to Batman. This is Antichrist. But in fact, Antichrist, in those terms, the words Antichrist are only used in a very few places in the entire Bible. And when we look at those terms and those texts which use the term Antichrist, a wholly different picture emerges than what we are getting in the pop culture that is today's evangelical Christianity. Let me give you a definition of Antichrist, and I'll begin by saying a few things that Antichrist is not. Antichrist is not a personal figure that will arrive in the last days and make everybody get a tattoo or a computer chip in their forehead or on their hand in order to buy and sell merchandise. Furthermore, and this is odd, you will not be saved by simply holding out during the tribulation and resisting Antichrist and sort of going out with a bang in a jihad-style martyr's death that will usher you right into heaven if you refuse to take his mark upon you or something like this. This is the stuff of an overactive, non-exegetical, sub-Christian imagination, and it is flooding churches, and it has been for over 100 years. It is not the teaching of the Bible. That is not what the Bible teaches about Antichrist. Very clearly, Antichrist is a false teaching or anybody that is against Jesus Christ as revealed in the Bible. Antichrist is a false teaching or anybody that is against Jesus Christ as revealed in the Bible. To deny, reject, to stand against, or detract from Jesus is Antichrist. That is what the Bible teaches about Antichrist. Let me explain this a little further. Let's consider the very term that we have, Antichrist. A lot of the common thinking about Antichrist today is based upon a misunderstanding of the very word Antichrist. The popular notion is that we have this figure that is going to be a fake Christ. We will have a person that will replace Christ and somehow stand in the place of who Jesus is and draw worship to themselves as a fake Christ. But I want you to note something, the very prefix of the word. By the way, if you ever take Greek, every one of you could read this word in the Greek. It is antichristos. It is exactly how it comes across in the English, antichrist. But notice the four letters at the beginning, anti. That means against. It is not the word pseudo. There is another prefix that could be attached to Christ which would designate that we are talking about a fake Christ or some sort of a replacement Christ. John does not use that term. He says this is antichrist. Now, certainly there are pseudo-Christs. In fact, the word pseudo-Christ is used in the Bible. In fact, it's Jesus that warns against pseudo-Christs in Matthew 24:24. He says there are false prophets and there are false Christs that are coming. And the term he uses there is pseudo-Christ. But if John had wanted to say that what he was talking about was a replacement or a fake Christ, he could have used that prefix, pseudo. In fact, he uses the prefix pseudo in verse 1 of chapter 4 when he is talking about false Christs. He says false Christs will come, and he uses the prefix pseudo there. But John has in mind, and in fact, we will see this in a second, John is the only one who ever uses the word antichrist. John has in mind a very deliberate opposition to Jesus when he speaks of antichrist. This is made clear particularly when we look at the passages where antichrist is used, and therefore, let's take a moment, and it only takes a moment, to look at every single passage in the Bible where antichrist is mentioned. The first one is our text this morning, 1 John 2, verse 18. Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore we know that it is the last hour. Now go to verse 22 of the same chapter. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. And finally, turn over to chapter 4, verse 3 of 1 John. 1 John 4, verse 3. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. And the final use of Antichrist in the Bible is in 2 John, verse 7. 2 John, verse 7. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the Antichrist. You have just read every single passage in the Bible that has the word Antichrist in it. That is it. And I think it is clear that every single use of it is specifically speaking about a person or a teaching that is fundamentally against or denies Christ. That's what every time the word Antichrist is used, that is what it is talking about. Another interesting fact that comes out here is that particularly verse 18, where many of your Bibles, I am sure, say that, little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard, the, capital A, Antichrist is coming. Capital A is not in the Greek. There's no such thing. There is capitals in the Greek. If you come across the covenant with David, you'll see a capital D, speaking of David's name. Antichrist is not being given here by John as a proper name. It's not, and well, let me tell you the other thing. There's no word the in the text. In other words, there's no definite article in this verse. It does not say that the Antichrist is coming. It simply says, you have heard that Antichrist is coming. That's what the text says. And so we see that it is not the Antichrist, it is simply Antichrist is coming. In fact, really, it is much more the idea that Antichrist is to be understood sort of like the way we use the term Mormon. If you talk to a person who is a Mormon, they can identify themselves and say, I am Mormon. Now, they're not announcing something that I am the embodiment of Mormon or something, or that is my name. I am Mormon. They are given a description of themselves. I am Mormon. When John says Antichrist, he's given a description. Someone can say, I am Antichrist. I'm against Christ. Mormons are Mormon. Christians are Christians. Antichrists are Antichrist. That's the idea that John's getting. It's a description of a false teaching or a person who stands against Christ. Another point that's interesting from each of these texts, we see something else. How many antichrists are there? Many. There are many antichrists. There's not just this one figure named Antichrist. There are many antichrists. And a last thing is that, when were they working? When were they around? Then, 2,000 years ago, John is saying, many antichrists, you see them. As I'm writing, many antichrists have gone out into the world. That's how you know it's the last hour. Let's consider this last issue again. When will Antichrist come? Clearly, the most popular notion about Antichrist today is that it will be some figure that will come at the end of time, sometime during the last days, and deceive people and draw to himself true believers and or people who are in the church. He will be this big figure that will bring worship on himself and stand in place of Christ. Furthermore, there's usually an association of Antichrist with the beast of Revelation. There is lots of speculation about whose name might add up to be 666. And we say that's going to be the Antichrist, whoever's name comes out with the numeric equivalent of 666. And there's all kinds of other clues and attending signs that we get enamored with and caught up with. But John says clearly that Antichrists were there 2,000 years ago. It's not something we're waiting for. It's something that was a phenomena then. In fact, he says that because they are all around, the church is to know that they've arrived at the last hour. You see, this last point is really important, I think. Instead of speculation about who Antichrist is, John says that the church will know something in a very sure way in regards to Antichrist, and that is that it is the last hour. They will know, you will know it's the last hour because of the presence of Antichrist. And so, in other words, the topic of Antichrist is not to be a hotbed of speculation about who it might be and what's going to happen, what he's going to look like, what country he's going to come from, the European Economic Community, all these kinds of things. It's rather, Antichrist was to be the source of some very definite knowledge for the church. When you see Antichrist, you will then know that you have arrived at the last hour. Now, in a word, let me just tell you what I believe the last hour is, because that is an issue that I don't want to go in depth on this morning. I believe that what John is talking about is that they have arrived at the 11th hour of the Old Covenant. The fall of the temple, the fall of the priesthood, the cessation of all the sacrifices was imminent. It was about to come down. They were on the eve of the destruction of the temple, and it is being announced, this is it. It is the last hour, and you know it because many antichrists have gone out into the world. Well, let me give you a summary then of what Antichrist is. In summary, we can say that it is a false belief about Jesus and a description of those who hold this belief. Antichrist is a false belief about Jesus. Particularly, it taught that Jesus was not the Christ. It denied the incarnation, that God became man, and it rejected apostolic doctrine. That was another issue with Antichrist. So Antichrist is a belief about Jesus and a description of those who hold this belief. Here's another issue that we need to keep in mind. Antichrist sought to deceive the church. Antichrist sought to deceive the church and draw it away from Jesus and the apostolic doctrine. That is, Antichrists were things that were people and teaching that was attacking the church specifically. And the last issue of a summary is Antichrists were around 2,000 years ago, and they are still around today. Antichrist is present any time that there is teaching that assaults the person and work of Christ. Well, lest we just have a lesson on who Antichrist is, I want to seek to make some application of this important term and why it's important to understand it. Part of the application is that we are not safe from Antichrist as long as someone hasn't held us down and embedded a computer chip under our hand or something like that. The more that we push Antichrist off into the future, we think by doing that that we're immune from the dangers of Antichrist. Antichrist is a real and present danger that is being fostered upon the church all the time, and it has been for 2,000 years. It is not just some figure out there, and until we see some attending signs, we don't have to worry about it. John is saying this is of vital interest to you today. You need to be warned today. Whether we see Antichrist reflected in the books and movies and music of today's popular culture or in the highfalutin halls of academia, Antichrist is present, and a misunderstanding of Antichrist is a sure road to deception. If Antichrist is this big monster that will show up, we think that we're immune from its infection. If Antichrist is simply a replacement or fake Christ, we will console ourselves and think, as long as I am not going after this guru or this certain other figure or this statism or something like this, or I'm not replacing my salvation in Christ with money. Somehow we think if we haven't replaced Christ, that we haven't been affected by Antichrist. But Antichrist is any teaching that detracts from who Christ is. And many people will think that they are holding on somewhat to Christ and all the while infected with Antichrist. In fact, Antichrist is usually the door through which the church walks to then embrace a pseudo-Christ. They are associated. I don't want you to think that I don't think these two are associated. A second thing is that I want you to see how crucial and central Jesus Christ is to your entire faith. John is saying that anything that detracts from him, the centrality of Christ, is Antichrist. That's why I have been harping on the centrality of Christ in your faith and salvation so long. Because anything that pulls away from him, anything that stands against him explicitly or implicitly, is Antichrist. And Antichrist is subtle. False teaching creeps into the church under the guise of biblical teaching. It doesn't show up with horns and a tail and a red pitchfork. Satan's angels come as ministers of light, and they come to infect the church. And it comes by slowly taking away from the person and work of Christ. That is why this menace John describes as it is Antichrist, and it should have all the horrific ramifications that resonate through us when we hear that word. Not in the wrong way, I think, of some of the wacky stuff going on in prophecy speculation today, but rather this strikes at the core of our faith. Antichrist is the most awful thing that any of us could ever imagine because it strikes at our one and only Savior, Jesus Christ, and therefore do not be deceived. One last application, which really goes along with our study in the book of Ravi Zacharias' book, Jesus Among Other Gods, is that since Antichrist is false teaching that stands against who Jesus is, every other non-Christian religion, non-Christian belief system out there is by definition Antichrist. I don't know if you realize this, but when you decided to join the Church of Jesus Christ, you joined the most dogmatic and exclusive religion on the block. Christianity stands for truth that is absolute. Our founder, our Savior, in the most exclusive and gracious words, said, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me." Therefore, Mormonism and Christianity cannot both be true. Islam and Christianity cannot both be true. Statism and Christianity cannot both be true. Judaism and Christianity cannot both be true. Roman Catholicism and Christianity cannot both be true. Each and every one of these religions teaches against what the Bible teaches about the person and work of Jesus Christ, and therefore each and every one of these religions is antichrist by definition. I tongue-in-cheek say, sorry, but that is the unexciting biblical view. No bells, no whistles, no cool prophecy charts, no hip movies and novels. That is what the Bible teaches about Antichrist. Antichrist is anyone who denies the Father and the Son, anyone who denies the teaching of Jesus that we get in the Scriptures, anyone who comes against the apostolic message of salvation in Christ. That is Antichrist. And this needs to be horrifying to us. But there is one more issue about Antichrist that we need to consider, and that brings us to the second term that we're going to look at this morning, and that is apostasy. I'm going to make an amendment to my sermon title. This is four key terms that you need to understand, part one of at least three messages. I don't think we're going to be able to do justice to the incredibly important topic of apostasy. And I'm trying to be as gracious as I can, particularly as you've been gracious to call me as your pastor, to not wear you out at times. And therefore, I think I'm going to make an end to my sermon at this point. Let me do this by emphasizing something at the end here. Please do not... Greg is showing me that the wall clock quit working, so but I decided I would continue to wear a watch for your sakes. And I think we're about 5 till right now. But Antichrist, you must remember, is a teaching against Christ. That should resonate with us that the centrality of Jesus is something to be guarded. John uses here the strongest words that he can. As you will see, John links Antichrist with the awful prospect of apostasy. Apostasy is one of the scariest things that we could ever consider from a pulpit. And we will be considering that next time we're in 1 John together. But Antichrists are apostates. This is the connection John draws together. In fact, those who apostatize from the faith are Antichrists. They have left, and by their very action, they are standing against the gospel. They're standing against who Jesus is. And so we will look at that awful issue when we come back together. But let me, again, underscore what you need to heed. Please do not accept the popular notion today that Antichrist is this big ghoul that will show up at the end of time and stand in place of people, in place of Jesus Christ, and draw people to himself in that sense. I mean, you saw that we looked at every passage in the Bible that mentions Antichrist, and we never went to the book of Revelation, did we? Antichrist is not mentioned there. I am not saying at all that the entire idea of Antichrist isn't very clearly in the book of Revelation, but all of these main issues that we go to and all these main texts that we tend to camp on when we think about end time issues, Antichrist is not mentioned in so many words in those texts. John is saying this is an assault on the church that has been going on for 2,000 years. It is a specific thing that stands against God and his Christ. And therefore, it's a real call to guard the gospel, to hang on to that, because anything that detracts from the gospel is Antichrist. Let's pray, and then we will finish our service this morning. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you have clearly told us where the right path is. You have made clear to us the way of salvation in your word. We do confess with our forefathers that not everything in Scripture is alike plain in and of itself, but those things necessary for your glory and for the salvation of men are clearly portrayed for us in the Scriptures that even a child might understand them. We thank you for the clarity of the saving message of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the care of your apostles, which come in your name and warn us about things that can take us off the straight and narrow. We pray, O Lord, that we would heed this message, that we truly would shiver with the idea of Antichrist, not because of some bodily harm that we might get from him, but rather we fear because they are drawing away those who could find salvation in the one who can not only kill body, but destroy soul as well in hell. Lord, make us people who not only are hearers of your word, but doers. Make us good contenders for the faith. And make us good evangelists with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We long to see this world brought under the domain of Jesus and him reigning over his enemies. Lord, we love you. We thank you for a day to worship you. We pray that you would bless our fellowship as a church. We thank you that we can confess one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. It's in the name of Jesus we pray this morning. Amen.